This is Agriculture Today.
The latest Federal Reserve Beige Book, released September 3rd, highlighting a farm economy facing both pressure and resilience. Crop producers across several districts continue to wrestle with low corn prices tied to record yields and rising input costs, including fertilizer tariffs. Farmers in the St. Louis district reported row crop prices below break-even levels. Some said they were storing beans rather than selling into weak markets. In the meantime, livestock producers faring better. Chicago and Kansas City districts pointing to historically high cattle prices, supporting farm income, even as ranchers cautious about expansion due to cost and long-term uncertainty. Dairy prices mixed, hogs flat, and egg prices slipping. Tariff impacts, though, a recurring theme across districts, raising costs, limiting export demand, still farmland values holding steady in most regions, and safety nets like crop insurance and federal payments expected to play an important role this year. What's the takeaway? Well, crop prices remain under pressure from large harvest and tariffs. Livestock margins remain strong. U.S. dairy exports surged in the second quarter of 2025, accounting for 18.7% of total milk solid production. It's the highest share since September of 2022. Butter and milk fat exports more than doubled from a year earlier. Cheddar cheese shipments up 43%. Overall, cheese exports reaching 153,000 metric tons, up 15% year over year. Domestically, though, yogurt led demand with a 9.8% increase from last year, while total commercial use of milk solids climbed 3%. Fluid milk sales relatively flat, slipping less than 1% from a year ago, but it marked the first year-over-year gain for June since last December. USDA data shows milk production rising 2.4% in the second quarter compared to last year, supported by larger herds and higher per milk cow yields. Well, the 2025 crop year is shaping up as another record harvest across the South, but depressed prices and strained storage capacity presenting marketing challenges. USDA data shows combined on- and off-farm grain storage exceeds projected 2025 production in Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Texas, and Virginia. However, states like Kentucky, Mississippi, and Tennessee expected to produce more grain than their available storage, raising concerns about handling the surplus. On-farm storage offers key advantages, including ability to delay sales until more favorable prices emerge, option to harvest earlier, and dry grain to avoid moisture discounts. Well, the latest outlook for U.S. ag trade projecting a farm sector trade deficit of $47 billion for this fiscal year, slightly lower than the forecast back in May. USDA analysts revised exports up to $173 billion, while imports remained unchanged at $220 billion. Now, the shift comes amid ongoing debate over tariffs and their role in widening U.S. ag trade deficits. And the report comes after USDA removed commentary from its trade outlooks earlier this year. It's Agriculture Today.
When you raise dryland cotton, one of the only things you control is input costs. Reduce your seed costs by as much as 75% without sacrificing yield potential with BSD 9X cotton from Brownfield Seed and Delining. Perfectly adapted for dryland acres, BSD 9X is large seed and has excellent early season vigor and consistently yields at the top in university trials. Find out about BSD 9X by calling 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever. Because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're seeing the futures markets coming out of dependence on the September contract for corn, for soybeans, and for wheat, and now rolling over to new lead contracts. And you can see that in the contract volume and open interest numbers.
Kansas State grain marketing economist Daniel O'Brien.
So we're fully focused now on Dease corn, Dease hard red winter wheat in Kansas anyway, and November soybeans as opposed to those September contracts we were looking at. And with that, we've had some movement in cash prices. It's interesting to see the trends in those futures contracts in the last several weeks. For instance, for corn, we had gotten down to a low of about 392, 393 early August, and now have had traded up to as high at just about 423 or so. This is on the Dease corn contract, down again to about 413 or so, 414, and closed yesterday just under $4.20. So it looks a lot like the patterns we've seen in the past, to where when the market becomes convinced or stops worrying about the size of crops, then we come out of that as you shift focus towards actual harvest and usage and all of that. So you have that trend in the corn contract. And oh, by the way, we've been trading the relative strength indices has been traded above 50 on a 0 to 100 scale. If it's at 50, it's just neutral moving sideways. So it's been a little bit positive of late, not as high as say 70, 75 to indicate strong uptrend, but still at least holding sideways during a time when we're anticipating pretty large crops. So that's kind of a victory if you're cheering for higher prices, although we're not necessarily, but that's just the case. And then for soybeans, kind of the opposite situation. We'd seen soybean prices having fallen again in that late July, early August timeframe to about 982, 983. And again, this would be for the November harvest contract had jumped up in 2 weeks after that, heading into the first part to mid-August to about $10.65, $10.62, something like that, had dropped to about 10.21 and closed yesterday at 10.33. So some volatility up and down. So 2 weeks ago, we'd have marveled at the tremendous upward move that happened in soybeans. And now we're looking at the situation. Well, we've had that move and we're giving some of that back. And so we'll see where all that goes. And then for wheat, we've just continued to trend downward. The fact that some of the strength we'd seen of late in some of these contracts has been really and fairly so attributed to traders getting out of or traders who had been in sell positions. This would be the speculative traders, what we call as managed money traders, who'd been in long-term sell positions, had to, as that September contract, and they were in the September contract, they had to exit that contract, so they had to buy back. So some of the upward that happened in the latter part of August heading into, the last several days, has had to do with people having to buy their way back out of the September contracts. But even with that type of pressure for wheat, we've still seen long-term downtrend. Closed on Friday at cotton as low as almost $5, closed at 506 and a quarter, and really you can draw pretty much a not too tortured of a trend downward over the last, since June 10th, June 11th, all the way down on wheat. So challenging. I would say that even with those type of trends now in the futures, that we've seen some interesting things in the cash market. So you're in a situation now where in baseball terminology, we're instead of having home runs where we gain a dollar or whatever over 2 or 3 days, we're noticing now gains of 10, 15, 20 cents. We're hitting singles right now in the cash markets.
It's Agriculture Today.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton, to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
The announcement today is the most significant action on global trade policy that's taken place in our lifetimes. It's not even a close call.
White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller, 6 months ago, talking trade.
This is probably the biggest event that's happened on global trade since the very ill-fated decision that we are now reversing of knocking down all of America's trade tariffs and revenue policies that led to the offshoring and outsourcing of all of our industries. So this is the great reversal of that great betrayal is how I look at it. So in the 20th century, successive American presidents knocked down all of the policies that we had to protect American industry. And they did insane things like letting China into the World Trade Organization, as an example. And we watched all of our factories go overseas. This is the complete reversal of that. This is the great onshoring, the great reshoring of American jobs and wealth. So if you look at America today, we're totally dependent on foreign countries for the supplies to make this country run, for all of the essential goods, materials, manufactured products that make it possible for us to live our lives, our cars, our electronics, all the materials that go into our homes, our buildings, our medical supplies, our entire supply chains are completely embedded in foreign countries. So if there's a national emergency of any kind and a country shuts off an import or a foreign power embargoes a sea lane, we are then left defenseless, helpless because of the decisions that prior leaders made that President Trump is now reversing to let all of these industries leave our country. And so what he's doing today is for the first time ever, he's saying that if you have stolen our jobs and therefore threatened our national security, we will apply reciprocal tariff based on the degree of your misconduct. So for countries like China, for example, they will see a very high tariff rate because they've engaged in the most egregious conduct that threatens our national security. For countries that have severe but not as severe misconduct, they'll see a moderate but not as high tariff rate. The effect, though, of those global tariffs will be that companies will have to move their production back into the United States. So factories will leave, whether it be Mexico or Canada or Vietnam or Cambodia or China or the European Union. They will come back to the United States to produce their products to make their goods. And in so doing, yes, it will create jobs. Yes, it will increase revenues. But most importantly, it will restore our national security so that we will not be dependent on anyone else to survive and thrive as a nation. That's the significance we're talking about today. The most important economic event of our lifetime.
Also 6 months ago, U.S. Trade Representative Jamison Greer.
First of all, we're doing a reciprocal tariff, right? This is a golden rule for the golden age. We treat them how they treat us. As Stephen mentioned, we expect that those countries that treat us very poorly, where they have documented behavior over many years of whether it's high tariff levels or extreme trade barriers or taxes or other kind of charges that discriminate against our companies or burden our companies, they are naturally going to have higher rates because to achieve the kind of reciprocity we need, you have to have a higher rate. And then there are going to be other countries that have a lower rate because maybe they have a different level of unfairness or non-reciprocity. And we expect that there will be a global minimum on all countries because we have to deal with this deficit. We also want to make sure that there's no cheating, that we don't have people going from one jurisdiction to another to try to get around the tariff. We need to make sure that we have no loopholes in this policy because, as Stephen points out, it's an emergency. The urgency of what's happening right now cannot be overstated. That's why the president on day one announced he wanted us to look into it. We looked into it over the past couple of months, and we're taking action the day after we reported back to him. I have right here a book full of all of the unfair trade practices by our top 100 partners.
It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
Well, I think it's important to kind of look at this over the last, you know, decade.
Kent Backus is with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association on Brazil.
All countries want access to the U.S. market. They know that if they can get that USDA stamp of approval, that is something that they can market all over the world. So one of the biggest priorities for Brazil and a lot of the other South American countries has been to gain access to the U.S. market. Again, this is the best place in the world to sell beef. So when you have countries that raise cattle, this is where they want to sell their beef. They also want to take that U.S. stamp of approval and use that as they try to gain access to other places. In 2016, Brazil was given access to the U.S. market in spite of strong opposition from NCBA and from others in the industry. We raised a lot of concerns about, you know, Brazil's history of foot and mouth disease, some of the concerns we had over food safety and other animal health concerns. In 2017, the Food Safety Inspection Service, they revoked their access. They suspended Brazilian beef imports because they had, you know, significantly high rates of rejection at our customs offices. So I believe it was Brazil was facing around 11% rejection rates, which is significant compared to the average of less than 1% of all other countries. So Brazil lost that access. They were able to gain it back a few years later. But then we started seeing all of these other cases of atypical BSE that Brazil was just not reporting. And that's concerning. It's concerning that when a trade partner is not being transparent, they're not being held accountable. And so NCBA has really led that charge to try to have our government hold them accountable. We believe the best thing to do is to suspend their access until, their claims of animal health and food safety can actually be verified, and that you can have updated, site visits and audits and make sure that that is not something that's going to potentially jeopardize, the health and safety of our consumers and our cattle. So Brazil has really taken that opportunity over the last few years to try to grow their presence here. And given the increased demand for ground beef, you know, that there's been a lot of incentive for them to market their products here. They've sold roughly $4.5 billion worth of beef into the U.S. market in the last 5 years, but they haven't reciprocated that access. In matter of fact, they've made it very difficult for us to send any products to Brazil. And so we've only managed to sell about $21 million worth of beef into their market. And that's a tremendous disparity. It's a tremendous imbalance. We think that, if we're going to trade with people, then they need to reciprocate. They need to play fair. They need to be transparent and they need to be held accountable. Brazil checks none of those boxes. And that's why we've been engaging so much with the Trump administration and previous administrations, really hold them to the same standards that we hold all of our other trading partners.
Brazilian exports to the U.S., though, have just continued to climb. What happens now?
I think the latest development with President Trump increasing the reciprocal tariff from 10 to 50%, I think that's a very positive step forward. We think that, when you combine that 50% tariff with the other tariff that Brazil faces for beef, that puts them at a 76.4% tariff through the rest of the year. We think that's a good start. We think that, ultimately to get Brazil to improve their behaviors and to gain that consumer trust that is needed here in the U.S., then we need to suspend their access. We need to have a thorough audit and investigation process, improve our inspections, and make sure that, that they are being held to the same standards as everyone else.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally sold thousands of acres of grassland in Texas, New Mexico, Colorado, and Oklahoma. Our inventory on ranches is as low as it has been in years. We really need listings on ranches of all sizes. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So when you see a situation like that where for several weeks in a row you have this, a very, very strong bid and then you see things weaken relative to other areas, could be that, you know, they now have, or they're just really close to some early harvest down in that area.
Kansas State grain marketing economist Daniel O'Brien.
Got pressure on the cash market. One or two bidders really starting to have a demand pull impact on the market. So you got that going on. I would say also when you look at sorghum, one bid has stood out to me again in that south central Kansas region around Hutchinson. You've got one bid at about $3.60 and then a whole bunch of others about 30, 40 cents lower. To me, that's a pattern that at least I think we've seen in that part of the area where one or two major terminals are looking to fill a train or something or to fill their bins, fill a train, do whatever. Then once their short run needs are met, then they recede back into the pack. So we've got a little bit of that occurring now in Hutchinson. But again, that happens over the years for a lot of these commodities, especially sorghum. When someone really needs sorghum, they bid up, they pull that in, offering 20, 30, 40 cents over the competition. Then when their needs are done, then they fall back until the next train comes in or whatever. So that's interesting to watch. Top soybean bid in the state still remains southeast Kansas. And again, you can look at where we've had some new soybean crush capacity going in that part of the country. 993 is a bid in the Pittsburgh area, 988 in Topeka, and Topeka as a bid not that far from Ellsworth, where we have a soybean crush facility there too. So soybean crush is tending to lead the way in the soy markets. 972 in Salina, Hutchinson also. So, and then for wheat, even though we're post-harvest, we're up and down in terms of cash wheat prices. The highest bid that I've seen looking at cash markets yesterday on the closes was a 456 in the Topeka area and a 451 following that in Salina, 446 Hutchinson, and then other bids markedly lower than that in other parts of the state. You do see some interesting new crop bids. You kind of find out who in which of these regions is really trying to encourage people as we're going into seeding in September, October, who's giving cash forward contract bids that might be an incentive for Kansas farmers to plant hard red winter wheat. And you see that the highest bids actually in Topeka at 503, admittedly, to the east, most of the wheat's in the central western part of the states, but you do have a pretty good bid in Topeka 503, Hutchinson 493 as a top bid at 483 in Garden City and 478 Pittsburgh, Salina 474. So interesting to watch all that. Shelby, you and I have been watching also the relative wheat and corn cash bids in Garden City area. Well, because if we're going to feed any wheat to cattle, that's going to be there for the most part, because that's where the lion's share of our cattle are for feeding. The ratio of cash wheat to cash corn prices in that Garden City area is now par. It's 1-to-1. So that's you're getting into the mode where a lot more profitable to at least consider feeding hard red winter wheat in cattle rations. And when you have a situation like that, but I would say all across the state, you've seen that type of situation. So wheat prices sideways to weaker, corn having gained some in the last bit of time. So, you do see a similar type of a ratio actually down southeast Kansas, Pittsburgh. I don't know that we feed a lot of cattle in southeast Kansas, but the ratio of wheat to corn prices down there would, if we did, and maybe if you will, you're on a break-even situation there with that.
It's Agriculture Today.
You hear that? That's the sound of forever, because there's nowhere else you'd rather spend forever than on land like this. Tending a herd, growing crops, raising a family. At Capital Farm Credit, we thrive at helping the next generation of farmers and ranchers like yourself by providing advice, products, and opportunities to help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You are right in the heat of the season. With field maintenance, planting, fertilizing, and spraying, you don't have time for equipment breakdowns. Let Wiley Implement and Spray Center, your Case IH dealer, be your partner in keeping your equipment running at peak performance. Our factory-trained technicians support you with in-field service and genuine Case IH parts. Wiley has 13 locations across Texas and Oklahoma. Visit us online at WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Ag News now. Agriculture Today.
Well, first of all, to the average American who's watching at home and trying to understand what this means for them, don't buy into the media's lies and the fear that they're going to try to instill in you after this announcement, because we know that's exactly what the media will try to do.
6 months ago, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt on an announcement for tariffs.
The president is looking out for the average American worker who has been ripped off by the elite political class for decades. And so what does this tariff policy look like? As Jameson so brilliantly said, it's the golden rule for the golden age of America. We're finally going to be treated the way we're going to treat other countries the way that we've been treated for too long. The president's going to put American workers first. But what does it look like? Think about your hometown where you grew up in the heartland in middle America, factories that have been abandoned, workers who have been put out of jobs, drug addicted generations of children and of families because there aren't good industry here at home. There is not good industries here at home in their hometowns. The president wants to restore that prosperity and that wealth, more money in people's pockets. The media will also continue to talk a lot about prices and what this will do to prices. And the American people need to understand that the president will effectively implement these tariffs while also having a whole of government approach to bring down the cost of living in this country. There was an inflation nightmare created by the previous administration. And while simultaneously implementing these fair trade practices to put America first, the president is already launching a massive deregulatory campaign, a massive energy boom where gas price is already coming down. Inflation is cooling.
White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller.
If you went to a store in America in, say, the 1950s, and you looked at where the products were made, it would have said made in the USA. That would have been the stamp you would have seen on everything, from the toys that your children buy to the clothes that you wear to the cars that you buy and everything in between. If you grew up in the 1980s, you would have seen a lot of things still stamped made in the USA, but a lot less. By the time you get to the early 2000s, after NAFTA, after China's entry into the World Trade Organization, after other disastrous trade deals, it started to look more like we see it now, where you go to the store and everything is stamped made in the foreign country, made in Romania, made in Thailand, made in Cambodia, made in Malaysia, made in China, but not made in the USA. So that means those good, high-paying jobs that should be here in America are not here in America. At the same time, it also means that for a lot of the more advanced manufacturing jobs, these are essential industries that could be converted at a moment's notice to core national security needs. And so when you don't have those factories, you don't have the training, and you don't have the workforce to be able to meet our nation's needs in a time of an emergency. So we are outsourcing to other countries the things that we need to keep America safe. The end result of this is going to be far more high-paying manufacturing jobs. These are jobs where you can support a family, you get a retirement plan, you get a pension, you have good health care, you're paid well above what you would consider to be the living wage for these new advanced manufacturing jobs. These are jobs you can build a family and a community around. At the same time, it's going to relieve inflation because it's actually the most cost effective to make things in the United States of America. People don't think about this, but all those products you see on these store shelves that are shipped from thousands of miles away, we're paying the cost of all that shipping built into the price of the good. So it's actually more economically efficient, particularly with advanced manufacturing techniques, to have these factories in the United States near where you live, putting products on your store shelves, not having to ship things all over the globe. So you're actually going to see prices go down because our products are being built and manufactured here in the United States. The most important point to understand is that tariffs do not apply to any product that is made in the United States.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton to expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.